A very well-known and often cited pasuk in Parshas Ekev about Eretz Yisrael, which has many, many layers to it. The literal layer is Moshe Rabbeinu is contrasting Eretz Yisrael with Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim has ample and constant supply of fresh water sources. Hishkisa v'raglecha kigan hayarak. Raglecha probably refers to the irrigation techniques, human beings' ability to stretch and to port water from location to location. But of course, Egyptians excelled in the actual irrigation techniques, but irrigation is only successful with fresh water sources, which Egypt had ample supply of. By contrast, Haaretz asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta, Eretz harim uvakos, so that's one topographical element about the mountains and the valleys, but the more relevant to water supply, l'mitar ha-shamayim tishtemayim. Unlike Egypt, which has constant water supplies, Israel is more dependent upon rainfall. And the next pasuk translates that into religious experience. Namely, it's not just differing sources of water and different topographies, but because Israel is so dependent on rainfall, Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doreish osa tamid, enei Hashem Elokecha ba, merishis hashana ve'ad achris hashana. At the literal level, from a human perspective, we're dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant supply and constant HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates rain. One of the Chazal tell us one of the three elements that human beings can't recreate of HaKadosh Baruch Hu: rain, birth, and resurrection. So because it's dependent almost solely on rainfall, we have to be more engaged in relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're more vulnerable, we're more minute by minute, month by month, season by season, and of course that creates a proximity and an interaction with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that at least life in Egypt absolves one from, at least on the surface, because the water appears to be an ample supply. Now, beyond the literal meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rain allocation for Israel creates a relationship of constant interaction and constant need, there's a deeper layer to this. And the Rashba in his Chiddushi Agados already describes this. I don't remember if he traces it to the Pasuk, but unlike life in Chutz Laretz, in Eretz Yisrael, for the Rashba, the direct delivery of rain and water in Israel is a metaphor for life in Israel. Remember, Geshem is a double entendre. It means rain, but it also means gashmius, things which are physical. And all of our physical experience in Israel is directed in a non-mediated fashion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in Chazal's terminology, life in Chutz Laretz is governed by secondary forces, which Chazal term as sar. So each nation, each area has a sar, and that could either be an angel in a mystical way, which we don't always understand and comprehend being modern empiricists, or it could just be the forces of history and the forces of society and of economics and politics that govern nations and that govern human experience across the globe. But there's no sar. There's no system of influence and of parameters in Israel. Life in Israel is directly affected and directly choreographed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same fashion that the water is directly delivered rather than naturally the land possessing water sources, which can then be manipulated or marshaled or exploited as ancient Egypt was so successful at. So on the one hand, of course, Moshe is warning people not to expect the same ease of agriculture, which many attributed and associated with Egypt. On the other hand, of course, he's reminding them not just of an agricultural shift, but of a general experiential and religious shift. Now, for the Ramban, this has a third layer, not just the difference in how the agriculture is performed, and not just a broadening of that difference from an agricultural sphere into a broader experiential realm, but the relationship between Israel and the broader world. The Ramban questions, of course, this phraseology that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to Israel, Tamid Einei Hashem Elokech Abba, Merishis Hashana, Ve'ad Achris Hashana. That would imply that other parts of the earth are neglected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes a pasuk to back up his question, but the question is obvious, and it's intriguing that the Ramban should ask it. This pasuk is, of course, from Eov, Lahamtir, Al Eretz Lo Ish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides direct rain to the entire globe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ashgacha Pratis is palpable in the entire planet. So this pasuk would almost be theologically contracting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only constantly interested in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban develops an interesting concept, and it's nascent in the Gemara in Tanis, although the Gemara in Tanis may even take it one step further. The Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for Israel first, and then secondarily, through Israel's success and through Israel's development, secondarily, the rest of the world prospers. So the two psukim, the pasuk in Parshas Ekev and the pasuk in Eov, are not contradictory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tamid Einei Hashem Elokech Abba Merishis Hashana Ve'achris Hashana. That's the first address. That's the first glance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned first with Israel's affairs and Israel's needs. And then by extension, the world receives its sustenance. And of course, it's not just a hierarchy of sequencing what receives first and what receives secondarily, but it's also axiological that the world's purpose is to support a certain historical religious trajectory of which Israel is at the center point. This is only reasonable that the welfare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allocates to a broader world is filtered or calculated through the historical calculus and historical decisions of which Eretz Yisrael is at the center point. So it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides rain for Israel and then the rain drips off and the other nations receive the leftovers or the afterthought, although that's how the Gemara in Tainus explains it. The Gemara in Tainus does appear to explain it. The Gemara in Tainus, I'm just opening the Gemara to read it, Daf Yudam and Aleph. Gemara first talks about the fact that Israel was the first land created, and then all the other parts of this globe were fashioned, Mitzion Michlal Yofi, based on that pasuk, Eretz Yisrael Nivra Tchila. Then the next stage of the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael Mashke Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biatzmo V'kol Olam Kuloi De Shliach, is what I alluded to in the Rashba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides direct rain and direct providence in other nations through rules of governing and through mystical celestial angels. Eretz Yisrael Shose Megishamim V'kol Olam Kulo Mitamsis. So here there seems to be a difference in the water itself and the quality of water. Eretz Yisrael Shose Tchila. So Eretz Yisrael gets the first rain and the best rain, and the other nations get the leftovers, and they get it second in the pecking order. But it doesn't just have to be chronologically who gets first and who gets second. It could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers rain, and rain is a metaphor for all of human prosperity, through the prism of historical calculations, and Eretz Yisrael is at the heart of the historical calculus. There's a pasuk that I think has three levels. Number one, the literal level, Moshe is warning the Jewish people to expect different agricultural conditions. And of course, those different agricultural conditions on the one hand may make it more challenging agriculturally as a farmer, but deeper religiously, providing a constant interactive face or interface between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. Second of all, it reminds us that our life in Israel is not patterned after the normal historical, socioeconomic, political norms that govern human experience. And that's typified by the rain being directly delivered from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what the Rashba develops. And the Ramban and the Gemara in Tanis develop a third notion, that Eretz Yisrael receives HaKadosh Baruch Hu's prosperity, and through Eretz Yisrael it's distributed and allocated to an entire globe, either in that sequencing, as the Gemara in Tainus says literally, or as I think the Ramban is intimating, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu factors in the needs of history through the prism of Israel's needs. And that factor, that calculation, determines a broader historical ripple effect. Now, what I think is interesting is to what degree, And again, for us, it seems like Israel is something where she merges in 1948, and to us, the end of feudalism and the end of human suffering was hundreds of years earlier in the period of the Renaissance, Industrial Revolution. But in a broader sweep of history, the ability of humankind to climb out of poverty, and Baruch Hashem, we don't live in a world that's as poor as it used to be. People don't die from poverty. People don't die for lack of nutrition, at least in the first world countries. More or less, this period, 1800s, late 1700s, mid-1800s, where there was a dramatic leap forward in the quality of the human condition, medical coverage, nutrition, liberal economies. Our world is vastly, vastly different in terms of the human index and the comfort index than it was 300 years ago, 400 years ago. Is this a reflection of the Ramban? Is this a reflection of the Gemara in Tanis? That as Israel, the land and its people, are no longer in hibernation and they're out of their slumber, has this led to a general improvement in the human condition? Okay, this sounds very nationalistic, and very few people think this way. Many people, or at least many people that don't view their experience as parochial, like to assume that there's a general, almost autonomous trajectory of human affairs and human interaction, and doesn't all stem from the land of Israel and the Jewish drama. But if we take the Ramban and we take the Gemara and Tanis at face value, is this something we can detect in our own modern, written largely, our own modern experience? Second of all, this is always fascinating that at some stage, Israel is in the process of severing itself from the terms of this pasuk. The pasuk describes Israel as a country dependent upon rainfall, as opposed to Egypt, which the water and the water being manipulated by human beings is more independent of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's direct decisions, in part because of the challenges we face in Israel today, political and meteorological. There's been an attempt to create a human-controlled system of water and water supply, primarily through desalination and other forms of water, human water management, in ways that, fortunately, I think, because obviously we have to act with practical and pragmatic concerns, makes us less dependent upon the rainfall. Obviously, from a religious standpoint, it may make us less callous to davening and to prayer and to our sense of dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is this a sign of redemption? Is this a sign that Eretz Yisrael is changing in ways that are very dramatic, that we're now partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history, and part of that partnership in history, as coded by the story in Shir HaShirim, is that this pasuk in Ekev is not meant to apply to modern Israel, and just like, as it were, the first redemption was unilateral, and in that stage Israel was in a unilateral phase, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly delivers rainfall. At this stage, as part of our attempt to redeem Eretz Yisrael along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it His will? And did He give us His creativity? Obviously, all the human creativity and all human technology is driven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is this something that's part of a larger redemptive narrative that we're now involved in, liberating ourselves from this direct dependence upon, soul dependence upon rainfall, and of course using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ingenuity that He embedded within us to be partners with Him in creating and enabling the availability of rainfall? So it's an interesting pasuk. It has many layers and it has a lot of resonance about the modern period and modern experience in Israel.